Usual, checking CCTV. They took my coat for forensics. I doubt they'll search the cave, given that the tide comes in on it, but you never know. Don't go putting yourself in any more danger, lovely. You've got to take care of yourself for those little girls, and I need my friend back. I swallow. So much of me wanted to never go back to work, so that I could wrap my precious daughters up in cotton wool. But I have to admit, I miss Nadine, Brett, and the pool now. I miss being me, and not just Mum. But I'm not increasing my hours. No way. So, no more expeditions into creepy caves on your own, promise? Yes, sir, promise. I have no intention of going into a cave ever again. I let out a slight chuckle. Are you doing anything today? As it happens, I'm just about to visit someone in a nursing home. It sounds stupid telling her that. What? I didn't know you knew anyone who lived there. I don't. I'm playing detective. The chap I'm visiting was close by when Jess went missing all those years ago. I need to speak to him. I don't mention that Archie is a man with memory issues. That the only thing that might result from this visit is a man who is even more distressed and confused than usual. But now that I remember seeing him peering out of his cabin just before Jess drowned, I can't get the man out of my mind. So you're doing the job the police are meant to be doing? Something like that. I must be mad, I know. But how much danger can come of me visiting a nursing home? Someone wants me out of the way, and they left me for dead in a cave. That's how close I'm getting. The police don't have the resources to do what I'm doing, and my days here are limited. I hear a click down the phone when Nadine swallows. Please take care of yourself. I need my partner in cake to come back in one piece. Promise me you'll play it safe. I will. Look, I have to go. Lots to do, and plenty of leads to follow. I'll stay in a crowd and make sure I'm seen at all times. Call me if you want to talk, okay? Okay. Gotta go. Bye. I end the call before Nadine starts talking about something else. There will be plenty of time for catch-ups when I'm back at work on Monday. Time here is too precious for me to stay on the phone. It's Tuesday, and the only thing I hear in my head is the ticking of the clock telling me that I only have 3 whole days left. Then it's back home. Glancing back, I catch sight of the bonnet of a navy blue car, sticking out of the nearest passing place to the house, almost tucked in the hedge. It's the same car. It has to be. I start to follow the steep path down, and as I follow the bend in the path, I lose sight of the car. The car door slams and skids as it turns with a revving engine. I barely catch sight of it before it speeds off. When I reach the passing place, it's as if the car was never here. A gust of wind causes the trees to shake and branches to sway. I shiver. It's like I'm not alone, ever. I stare in each direction, wondering if I'll catch a moving person. But I see nothing but dense woodland. From now on, I'm going to check my rear-view mirror all the time. I need something, anything, a registration number, the make of the car. I glance down and see a few fresh drips of oil where the car had been parked. I'm looking for a car with an oil leak. When I get back to Lou, I'll check the parking space that the car was parked in. If there's leaked oil there, it will tell me if it's the same car. I grip my phone and consider if I should call the police. Then I place it in my pocket. I'm on the cusp of solving their case for them, which means I need to keep going. Talking to them might prevent me from investigating. And that can't happen. 33. Kate. As I enter the Brambles, the woman who buzzed me in has arrived to greet me at the door. Sign in the book, name, time, and registration. I catch her name badge, Sylvie. There's a smell in the air, a little like disinfectant mixed with scrambled eggs. Swallowing, I fight the nausea that sits in my throat. Now is not the time to get sick. I have too much to do, and I daren't mention how rough I feel to my dad, as he'll go on about me going to the hospital for a check-up. I go to write Kate, but scribble out the K and write Nadine. Sylvie looks at me with furrowed brows. Sorry, people normally call me by my middle name. I don't like Nadine. I nervously laugh off my mistake. Today I look less dishevelled. I'm wearing my smart jeans and a fitted jumper. My hair is twisted into a topknot, and I've left a clump down to frame my face and hide a tiny scratch on my forehead. I feel as though I look the part of a visiting relative. I'm here to see Archie. Oh, yes. He has been popular this week.
Popular?
Yes. His son has been, his granddaughter, and a couple of friends. We all love him here. I smile. Yes, he was always quite the charmer. It's been a while since I saw Great Uncle Archie. What do I know? I know that he was there the day my sister went missing. I feel as though his son is hiding something, and I only hope that the man has a spurt of lucidity while I'm here. I know his granddaughter, Daisy, uncannily has hair like mine and my figure. He may mistake me for her if his memory is playing up. I also know that Cody lied about his father having an accident at the home the other day. Why? The man I'm about to see is the key to solving the mystery. The answers are now mine to lose.
He's probably worse than when you saw him last. When was it?
I can't remember. When he was still living at home. It's my first time visiting here. I'm staying for a few days, so thought I'd pop by.
So you haven't seen him for at least a couple of years?
I shake my head. Should have come sooner. Follow me. Let's hope it's a good day for him. He's had his breakfast, and we've put him in the visitor room overlooking the sea. It's got a charming view. Would you like a drink while you're here? Shaking my head, I follow the woman.
No, thank you for offering.
What I want is some private time to speak to Archie. I hope there are no other visits, or even worse, I hope Sylvie doesn't stay in the room.
Okay, here we are. Archie, love, you have a visitor. It's Nadine.
Hi, Uncle Archie.
I sit in the window seat opposite him. Thankfully, he doesn't call me out on my lie. There's a streak of what looks like egg down the front of his jumper, and he stares at me with his mouth open, exposing several gaps in his teeth.
I'll pop by in a few minutes, see how you're both getting on.
The woman leaves, and the room is silent except for the humming of a heater.
Lovely view.
View.
He sniffs and huffs out a lungful of air.
Archie, my name is Kate. I don't have long, and there's no point beating about the bush. Do you remember baby Jessica?
He scrunches up his forehead and runs his tongue over his cracked lips.
Baby in the car.
No, the baby who drowned in the harbour many years ago. She was my sister. You were in your boat at the time, with Cody.
He keeps shaking his head over and over again.
Crash! The car crashed!
His brows furrow and he begins fiddling with the edge of his cardigan.
Red hat!
My heart bangs. Jess's red hat was found floating in the harbour later that day.
Tell me about the red sun hat.
No, no, no!
He begins to yell so loud I keep well away from him as his foot kicks out at the table, nudging it in my direction. Then he grabs his beaker of tea and begins to bang it hard on the chair's arm and the lid flies off, sending tea spraying all over the coffee table and floor.
No, no!
He keeps repeating the same word over and over again. The woman runs back in.
Archie, stop it, my love. You're okay.
She pats him down with the towel and takes the beaker off him.
We'll need to get you changed out of this damp jumper in a minute.
Tea drips from my hand, and there's a wet streak across my jeans.
Sorry about that.
This happens sometimes when he's not having a good day.
But he mentioned the red hat.
I need to know more.
Archie, tell me about the red hat.
The woman glances at me as she continues to clean him up.
Archie looks up. The red hat?
You know about the red hat?
Oh, he goes on about that sometimes. Cody told me about the toddler he rescued from the car. Apparently he was wearing a red sun hat, and sometimes that's all Archie can remember. Silly, isn't it, what the brain chooses to keep? You were a hero, weren't you, darling?
Wasn't a red hat found in the harbour when the baby drowned a few weeks after? She stops and bites her bottom lip.
Who are you?
Nadine.
No, 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 no,
Archie shouts.
Jessica!
What do you know about Jess? I can't help but push him a little more. The last thing I want to do is see him like this, but I need to know. The man yells so loud my ears almost pop.
I'm sorry, Miss Turner, or whoever you are, but you best leave. As you can see, Archie is distressed. Please wait in reception, and I'll get you signed out in a minute.
I've blown it. She's suspicious of me, and Archie's in a bad way. They'll tell Cody, and he'll put two and two together. If it is Cody who tried to kill me, he'll want to do it even more now, especially if the woman tells him what happened, or describes me. Cody is trying to hide what Archie did. And I know the lengths he'll go to. My life means nothing to him.
I said, can you wait in reception?
Now. I've seriously blown it.
34. Kate.
Okay. I back out from the chaos, knowing that Sylvie's not happy with me. My mouth dries up and my shaking fingers won't keep still. She's going to call the police, I know it. What happens to a person who pretends to be someone else to visit a resident of a nursing home? Am I in trouble for this? Just as I'm about to leave the room, he calls out,
Stop the noise! The baby in the sea is crying! No, no, no!
Tears stream down his face, and I feel my own eyes welling up. The baby in the sea. I know he's talking about Jess. I hurry out to reception, trembling with teary eyes. The heat surrounds me like it's thick in the air. So hot. My vision wobbles a little, and a wave of dizziness passes through me. Then I dry heave slightly. I have this sick headache over my temples.
Are you okay?
Sylvie passes me a box of tissues, and I realize I've made a mess of my face as I rub mascara onto the tissue. Now I've started crying. I can't stop.
You're not related to Archie, are you?
I'm sorry. I just need the truth, and everyone around here is lying to me. She takes my hand and leads me to a chair.
What's going on?
I've been here investigating the death of my baby sister 25 years ago. Her name was Jess. Everyone said that it was an accident, that she drowned in Lou Harbour. I know there's more to the story. The investigation was shoddy, and I think the police just wanted it off their pile. Archie was there that day, and the red hat he was shouting about, that was my sister's sun hat. He mentioned the baby in the sea. He's not talking about the car accident. He's got both mixed up in his mind, and he can't tell me what he knows.
I know something. Sylvie checks the corridor.
About my sister?
Not exactly. She shakes her head. I could lose my job, everything. It's not my place to say. Please, I swear I won't bring your name up at all. She bites her lip and takes a deep breath. If you do, I'll deny everything. Letting out a huge sigh, she continues, I don't mean to pry, but sometimes I hear Archie's son talking to him. Normally, it's when I want to check to see if they're okay, and I'm waiting for a gap in their conversation, that's all. My heart bangs that hard. It feels as though it's about to burst through my ribcage. Please, I won't tell anyone that you said anything. Not knowing the truth is eating me up. I heard Cody having quite a go at his old man, telling him to stop mentioning the baby. Of course, Archie still keeps shouting about the baby in the sea. It's normally when the seagulls are sounding away. He seems to think they're crying like babies. I heard him say that he wanted to keep the hat, but he threw it into the sea. Cody was quite mean to him. Just as he looked up at the door, I ducked out of the way. That was one incident. They've had this conversation a few times. I've no doubt that Archie knows what happened that day, but I also know, without a doubt, that all you'll get is red hat and a baby crying in the sea. By now my face is sodden with tears. For the first time since coming here, someone has told me the truth. Everyone else has made me feel like I'm going crazy with their denial. Cody knows everything, and he won't tell me. I only hope that the ice cream seller will be more open. At least I can tell her what Archie said to me today. I won't mention Sylvie. The last thing I want is for this wonderful human being to lose her job. And looking at Cody and the way he is, he'd insist that she went. Thank you. I was beginning to think I was losing my mind. I'm going to call it murder now. I believe that Archie killed her, reason unknown, and Cody either helped him or covered it up. All I need to do is prove it. Reason unknown. What could those reasons be? Did they try to smuggle her away and it all went wrong? I still can't forget the pirate clue that Will was dangling my way before he went offline. Was it something to do with the man who took us out that day, Mr. Pritchard? Were they all into something bad together? Is that why no one is talking? If I'm on the cusp of unraveling everything, my life is seriously in danger. I can't ask Mr. Pritchard now, as he's dead. Come here. The woman places an arm around my shoulder. Thank you for everything. I splutter and blow my nose. Can I just ask another question? Of course, lovely. What colour car does his son drive? It's a silvery grey saloon. That's not the car that has been following me, but then again, he could have used his daughter's car, or maybe his wife has a car. Thank you again for everything. That's okay. You take care of yourself. Do you hear me? I nod and smile as she buzzes me out. Blue sky pierces through the clouds. Running to the car, I open the door and throw my bag onto the passenger seat. My phone rings and I answer immediately. Dad, is everything okay? The girls? My heart revs up as I imagine all sorts. Are they hurt? No, they're fine. We've been playing buckaroo. They're hungry, and they mentioned that you went out for a pub lunch. They want to go to the Mermaid Pub for food. I don't think that's a good idea. He lost Jess. I remind myself that he can't be trusted with a responsibility so huge. I promise you, Katie, I will guard them with my life. I know you hate me. I don't hate you. He pauses and clears his throat. I always thought you hated me. A tear slips from my eye. I did. I thought I did, and I want to believe that you've changed. I have. I'm not the same person. Please give me a chance to make it up to you. I sigh. It's less than a 5-minute walk. We went to the old smuggler, go straight there, and hold both of their hands. If a hair on their head is damaged, I will never forgive you. Don't let go of them. Promise me. I feel like I might throw up. The thought of them all going out. People will look at my dad, and they'll point. But we can't hide away.
I promise.
Okay. I croak. I feel so sickly, yet I'm starving. The lack of food in me is probably making things worse. I need to eat before I faint. That churning is there again, and it reminds me of a feeling I'm familiar with. I reach in through my coat and cup one of my breasts, searching for the sensitivity I'm all too familiar with in this potential situation. I'll be with you in about 30 minutes. Order me something with chips. Curry, maybe.
Will do. See you there.
With that, he hangs up. My mind casts back over the past few weeks. I was late with some of my pills, and I forgot one or two. The stress of everything, of leaving the girls to go to start my new job, kept my mind on other things. It's not concussion. I'm pregnant. This nausea has been going on for days, maybe even a couple of weeks. It just so happens to have got worse since yesterday. I gaze at the sea, and several steps forward would see me plunging down the cliff to my death. I creep closer and gaze down, the swells and swirls making me giddy. Taking a step back, I almost gasp with relief. That's when I hear the seagulls. I close my eyes, one hand on my tummy, the other in my pocket as I think of Jess. The gulls really do sound like crying babies. And I don't want to open my eyes. I fear I might see the ghost of her being taken by a wave. I need to buy a pregnancy test when I get back to Lou. If I am carrying a new life, I feel a duty to protect it with all that I have. From now on, I'm not taking any risks. One thing I love more than anything is my children, and I know I have enough love in my heart for another. I choke up as I think of Damien and the fact that he's not here. The squawks send a tingle down my spine, and with eyes still closed, I feel a presence behind me, like the whoosh of a breeze. The seagulls get louder, as do the cries. Whoever did this to my baby sister will come for me and my baby. I should message Damien. But this isn't something that should be revealed in a message, and I haven't confirmed it yet. No, the secret is mine for now. A crunch in the leaves behind me has me opening my eyes and too scared to turn. Just a slight nudge forward, and I'd be over the edge, dead. Shaking, I eventually turn, but there is nothing but a crow feeding on what looks like a dead mouse lying on a patch of earth. The shiny innards spill out. Holding my hand over my mouth, I run to the car and lock it as soon as I get in. A few moments pass, and I get the image of the mouse out of my head. A gull crashes into my windscreen, and I flinch. I have to get away from here. The landscape is open, but all I feel is overwhelming suffocation. I double-check that I'm in reverse, and drive out of that car park as fast as I can. Away from the crow, the seagulls, and the ill feelings that the place is giving me. 35. Kate. As soon as I enter the smuggler, several people turn their heads, but I ignore them. My dad has ordered me curry and chips. The girls have already eaten, and he is just tucking into what looks like a wedge of chocolate fudge cake.
How did you get on?
Rosie and Millie are sitting a little away from us in the window seat, where they have a pack of colourful cards spread out on the table.
I haven't let them out of my sight.
I spoke to Archie.
All he kept saying was red hat,
and he went on about a baby crying in the sea. I'm a few years too late. He can't tell me what he knows. Tears drizzle down my face as I shove a curry-covered chip into my mouth. My emotions were all over the place when I was pregnant with both of the girls. That's how I know for sure. On a normal day, I'd be able to have this conversation without snivelling in the pub while still ramming food into my mouth.
I'm sorry, love. You do know that the chances of finding out exactly what happened to Slim. It was such a long time ago.
I nod. He's right, but in my heart I refuse to believe that. In fact, I believe more than ever that I'm on the brink of revealing everything. Cody will have to give up his secrets, and the ice cream seller is going to tell me what she knows. I check my watch. As soon as my dad and the girls are settled after lunch, I'll head over there. At least I don't need to lie to my dad, not like I did to Damien. I swallow the food in my mouth and take a long swig of lemonade.
Thank you.
He awkwardly presses his lips together to smile. With that, I wolf down the rest of my food and enjoy it like it's the best thing I've ever eaten. When we leave here, I'll need to pop back to the cottage. Not wanting to waste any time after returning from the Brambles, I rushed straight over to the pub. What I need to do is check the parking space where I saw the car. If there's a patch of fairly fresh oil, I'll know that the same car was following me today. The man who was falling over drunk the last time I was here enters the pub with a baby in a pushchair.
"Kyle, want a drink?" a man asks. "No, I'm on babysitting duty, looking after this little dot. The wife and daughter have not long gone to Plymouth on a shopping expedition, so I'm on granddad duty. She's a sweetheart, that little baby is, and so are Mary and Rachel. You're a lucky man." "I know I am. Family is everything, aren't they, chick?"
He strokes the baby's cheek, and she gurgles. Then he offers up a dummy to her mouth. As the man rubs his hands in front of the fire, I can't help gazing at the baby. If I'm right, I'll have another baby in several months' time. Her pinched little face with red scratch marks is all that I see, as the rest of her body is wrapped in a hood and a blanket. My two often scratched their faces, and they kept pulling their scratch mitts off. I wish I didn't see Jess every time I saw a baby. Placing my cutlery on my empty plate, I take a deep breath and feel heartburn brewing up inside me. The dummy in the baby's mouth bobs up and down as she drifts off to sleep. Jess used to do that. Guilt washes over me again. I swallow down the guilt of that day. It's easy to blame my dad, but I need to face up to what I did. Shaking that thought away, I wonder what Jess would be like now if she'd been alive. We might all be on holiday together. Jess might be married, or she might have children, and my dad would never have had a 25-year battle with alcohol addiction. That in turn made my mum unhappy. It ruined my childhood. We have all suffered. Rosie and Millie have been robbed of an auntie. And it's my fault. I started it. I see Jess every time I look at a baby. It never gets easier.
"Mummy, will you play pairs with us? Granddad got us some cards with fruits on them."
Millie looks up at me doe-like. How can I refuse her simple request?
"We popped into one shop. I held their hands the whole time."
"Of course I will, sweetie." I shuffle my chair a bit closer to them and join in for 10 minutes. The least I can give them is a bit of my time after being so vacant.
"Is Daddy coming back when he's done his work?"
Millie places a card down.
I don't know. We'll see.
Are the police coming back?
Rosie asks as she picks up all the cards, ready to lay them all out face down again. I shake my head and smile. I don't think so, but if they do, it's okay.
Why did they come?
Someone had an accident on the beach yesterday and I was there. They're just asking what people saw.
What kind of accident? Did they die?
Rosie won't stop questioning me, and I feel a little guilty about lying, but I don't want her to worry about me. My girls are too young to process the truth, that someone attacked me and left me for dead. No, they're okay now.
Did you help them, like when you saved that baby at work?
A twinge of guilt washes through me. I haven't put them right about that, as I was hoping they'd forget. Something like that. Some nice people from the pub carried her from the beach and warmed her up.
They must be kind people, Mummy.
I smile and begin playing their game. They were kind people. I must go back and thank them, but I don't know if I'll have time. Half an hour soon passes and the place is filling up. Right, I think we should head back in a minute. As soon as they finish a game, the girls pack the cards away, and we start walking back towards the cottage. When we reach it, my dad ushers them towards the door, and I check the car park. The parking space I need to look at is free. I just need to check something. I'll be in a minute, I tell him. He nods. Are we ready for some more buckaroo? The girls yell with delight as they go in. I run across the car park, the huge meal I ate now gurgling away in my stomach. When I pop out later, I need to find a chemist and take a test to see if I really am pregnant. A few more steps and I'm there. A shiny patch of black sits in that very space. I was right. I'm being constantly followed. I look in all directions frantically, then I squint as I try to gaze through windows and into the distance. Cottages dot the hills, and the beach is quiet apart from a few people walking in coats. All I want to do is scream in frustration. Who are you? 36. Kate. As I approach the ice cream shop, I peer around the corner. If Cody is there, I don't want him to see me entering. Whatever this woman has to tell me, I get the feeling it would be best if I were to see her alone, and not under the scrutiny of Cody, who is likely to be involved. On the harbour, Cody gazes about, hands on hips like he's the king of his castle. By the bench, I see a bike and two young women sitting on it. I instantly recognise Daisy. She's leaning back and eating while talking to the other girl she was with at the cafe. It's not Rachel, the young woman with the baby. Damn. I need them all to go. The tide is low, and the boats look off kilter, stranded in the sand and weed. They're like me, stuck in the moment and unable to move. Cody says something to his daughter and strides off with his bag. Now I can make my move. After jogging to the ice cream shop, I join the queue, and hope that no one else comes in after me. First she serves a woman, then some teenagers. I place my hands palm down on the glass counter. Hi, we need to talk. She steps out and closes the door, turning the closed sign around. Come through. She heads through the door at the back, and it's like my feet are glued to the ground. Someone attacked me yesterday, and for all I know, it could be her. This could be nothing more than a lure to get me alone again. Are you coming? I can't keep the shop closed for too long. Can we talk here? She peers out of the shop window. Cody has just come back. You need to get through here now. He can't see you. No one can see you here.
They all talk, you know. I glance back and realize that my knees are knocking, and I feel like I'm turning to jelly, but I follow. My desire to get answers is so strong, there's no way I'm going to turn around and walk out. I follow her through what looks like a storeroom. There's a large walk-in freezer, and I shiver. Not because it's cold, because I don't want to end up in it, while she tries to work out where to dump my body. Following her up the narrow dark stairway, I take in the old black-and-white photos of people standing outside the shop, all taken at different times. The stairs creak and crack, like they might fall from beneath us, and there's a damp patch on the ceiling. A musty smell makes me recoil. This feels like a place a person would come to die. As I reach the top, she leads me into the kitchen. I wonder if she's hiding any secrets behind the other doors. A chopping board and a chunk of cheese is all that sits on the worktop. A hard crust has formed in the corners, and the slightly stale smell teases my nostrils, making me want to cover my face. I swallow as my gaze falls upon the bread knife, a beam of sunshine glinting from its blade. I inhale, then I exhale slowly. I've gone and done it. I've put myself in danger again. The woman grabs the knife and sweat prickles at the nape of my neck. She throws it into the water-filled washing-up bowl, then wraps up the cheese. Sorry about the mess. I don't get many visitors. Okay, Kate, take a seat. I sit on one of the two chairs that are neatly positioned at each side of a small drop-leaf table that is pushed up against the wall. The view outside takes me away for a few seconds. The boats, people walking and laughing, do nothing to calm my nerves. I try to focus on the outside for a second, to calm my heart rate down. You want to know what I know, and I'm prepared to tell you. Thank you. I really appreciate what you're doing. I don't want her to stop talking. Coffee or tea? I shake my head. My stomach is still feeling yucky after wolfing down that huge lunch. The spicy curry is repeating on me too, leaving a bitter taste at the back of my throat. I wish I hadn't eaten it. She leans forward and I flinch, but I soon realize that she's not reaching for me. She grabs a photo of one of the fishing boats, and it looks like it was taken many years ago. I apologize for scaring you last night. That's not me. I just had some really bad news, and when you stopped me, my mind was still on it. I breathe a sigh of relief. I'm sorry, too. It must have been a bit weird, me chasing you around the streets after nearly running you over. Is your name Natalie? Have I got that right? Yes. They call me Nat the Ice Cream Lady. Well, the kids do. She chuckles. This shop was my in-law's, and my father-in-law's parents before that. I guess it's mine now that my husband has also passed away. I have no one to leave it to. Natalie's eyes glass over and she rubs them. I was thinking of packing up and starting afresh. I'll probably need to do that once the truth comes out. I won't be welcome here anymore. Swallowing. I'm ready for the truth. See that photo? She nods at it, and I look as closely as I can. That's Mr. Pritchard. Your family went out on his boat. He used to always wear that pirate hat to entertain the kids. The one next to Mr. P belonged to Kyle and Mary Penrose. They now own the old smuggler. They sold the boat, bought the pub, and they keep a small boat instead. The other boat you see is Cody's boat. I saw your family going out with him the other day. He used to work with his father, Archie. I went to see Archie earlier today. And? Natalie scrunches her brows and sits opposite me. No longer worried about being in this room with her, I feel myself relaxing slightly. He knew who Jessica was. He kept repeating himself, talking about the baby crying in the sea and Jess's red hat. I went to see him the other night with Laura,
She said that you've been in her shop.
Yes.
Why did you both visit Archie?
The same reason you went. We wanted to find out more. This town has lived under a shadow since that day, and the article brought it all back. With you turning up, everyone has that day on their minds. But I didn't give it much thought for years, until I overheard something being said one night, and I'm trusting you with this.
Who said it?
I swallow the lump in my throat, not daring to blink in case I miss a sign.
I didn't see who.
She looks away. I don't know if Natalie can stand the intensity I'm projecting, or she's hiding something. I couldn't hear well enough to recognize the voice as it was so low. I heard what I heard. Then I hurried away, not wanting them to know I was there. I was somewhere I shouldn't have been, let's put it that way. Don't ask me any more on that, as you won't get anything. My reasons for being there were personal.
That's not what's important to me. Her spying on someone was none of my business. What is my business is what was said, and how it will help me find out what happened to Jess.
Okay, what did you hear?
She stands and walks over to the worktop, placing both hands down as she stares out of the window. Shaking her head, she stares into the washing-up bowl. Archie dropped your sister's sun hat into the sea at Banjo Pier. It must have washed up in the harbour when the tide came back in. I'm saying that Archie was involved, but he may not have fully known what he was doing. He was having these episodes, these funny amnesia attacks, after his car accident. Anyway, that's what happened. I've read the posts on your page for ages, not knowing what to do. I wanted to tell you before, but this is my home. These people are my community. This place is all I've ever known.
I'm trembling. There will be no justice for Jess if I don't get the truth.
Maybe someone else was in on it, and Archie was covering up for them.
Maybe it was Cody.
Could he have sent his father on a mission to get rid of evidence?
Did this person say that they saw Cody with Jess?
She shook her head.
No, just the hat.
So he might have killed Jess, or maybe someone else did, and he was covering up for them.
Maybe he was covering for his son.
This is all too neat for me. Why would someone attack me over this? As Archie couldn't stand trial now, given his mental capacity. Even if it was intentional, why would someone attack me and leave me to drown? I don't believe it was all on Archie. He's an easy target to lay all the blame on, given his situation.
I don't know, but what I do want to do is help you in any way I can. I've decided that this place doesn't matter to me now. I have nothing to stay for. In fact, I want the truth to come out, wherever that might lead. I tell you what, I'll do a bit of digging and let you know what I find out in a day or two.
She turns around and tucks a straggly piece of hair behind her ear.
You don't know how grateful I am, thank you.
I only have 3 more days here.
She blows out, her puffed red cheeks reducing in size as she exhales.
I best get a move on then.
Someone has been messaging me. Well, not anymore. They've gone offline. They've been using the name Will Wilcox, the pirate.
Laura mentioned that. She told me what you said.
Do you have any idea who this person might be?
No, not a jot.
They tried to kill me yesterday. I went to the cave at Polperro and this person followed me. They knocked me out and the tide came in. Another 10 minutes, I'd have been swept out to sea.
She shook her head and pressed her lips together.
That's awful to hear.
They've also been following me in a navy blue car. Do you know anyone with a car of that color?
There are probably loads of people in this town with a navy colored car.
It has an oil leak. I'll keep an eye out. Anyway, I best get back to the shop. Here, take my number. She grabs a curled-up old notebook and pulls a sheet of paper out before noting down her number and passing it to me. Thank you again for helping me. Are the police involved? They're looking into my attack, but they don't know I went to Archie's nursing home or that I was coming here. I realize that I've just made myself vulnerable with that statement. So I add to my sentence. I told my dad I was coming here, though. Okay, give me a day or two. She ushers me up and back down the stairs. Thank you. I'll text you in a short while so that you have my number. She nods and opens the door to an angry-looking man with three children and an elderly lady holding his arm. I shuffle past them and back out onto the pavement. That's when I see a navy blue car pulling up. It stops on double yellows with the engine running. I stand behind the wall and peer out. Daisy and Cody have gone, but the one remaining girl gets off Jess's bench and runs over to the car shouting, "Ma'am, unlock the doors!" I can just about see through the sky reflected in the windscreen. It's Laura from the shop, smiling. Her daughter jumps in and she reverses out. As soon as they're gone, I run over to where the car was parked, heart banging away as I check for an oil patch. There's nothing on the road. But then again, she'd only been parked there for a few seconds. There was only one thing to do. She must be going back to her shop in a while. I'm going to wait for her at closing time, and I'm going to follow her home. She must be popping out to get supplies. I know she lives close by, and parking isn't good in this town, and there's none by her shop. She said so herself. I hope that she takes her car back home after her little trip, and then she or her daughter go back to the shop. I will follow either of them home. When I get there, I'll find her car, and I'll check out her parking space. If there is an oil patch, I will know who's been following me. That person is probably the same person who tried to kill me in the cave. In the meantime, I have to get to a chemist. I need a pregnancy test. 37. Kate. I hurry back to the cottage after a stop at the chemist, and Dad opens the door before I even reach it. How did it go? I scurry through to the kitchen, passing the girls who are colouring. He's as invested in getting to the truth as I am. Natalie, the woman who owns the ice cream shop, told me that she heard someone saying that Archie, the man in the nursing home, was standing on Banjo Pier with Jess's hat on the day that she went missing. Did they see Jess? I shake my head. But he had her hat. Who said this? She says she doesn't know. My dad raises his grey eyebrows. Really? She heard someone say all that? She probably knows everyone and she doesn't recognize a voice. I sit at the table. I know. I don't believe her either. I think there's a reason she's holding back on me. She said she's going to do a bit of digging, see if she can find out more. I always knew there was more to it. My dad hyperventilates a little, so I place a hand on his back. Only now do I see how fragile he is, and for the first time ever, I know we're on the same team, and that fuels my determination. We're going to get the full truth, Dad. I won't stop until we do. It's clear this town is hiding so much from us. My dad fights back his tears and grabs two glasses and a carton of juice. He pours me one. Do you trust this woman? She could have been the one sending you the messages. It wasn't her. I sip the juice, but this only aggravates my heartburn. He plants his palm on his forehead. I hope not. Archie kept yelling about Jess's red hat. It all makes sense to me. When I went into Natalie's shop and up her stairs, then into her kitchen alone, I didn't feel at all worried. She's trying to help us. I thought you were just going to the shop. Be careful what you do. You don't know these people. But she didn't want Cody to see me there talking to her. We had to get away from the window as Cody was sitting on the bench. Jess's bench. My cheeks are burning hot. Look in there, Katie. Those children need their mother. Please promise me that you won't put yourself in danger. If something were to happen to you after Jess, I wipe my eyes. I'm sorry. Those little girls have missed you. They've been happy playing with Stranger Granddad, but they need you too. I'm sorry for leaving you with them for so long. There's one more thing I need to do. Then that's it. I am and as to whether I should tell him about the navy blue car and the oil leak. Then I decide not to say anything. He's already nervously tapping his fingers on the table. I will know for definite as soon as I find out where Laura lives.
Is it dangerous?
No, I promise. All I have to do is go to Laura's shop. She's definitely not dangerous.
Should we all go?
No, I don't want to drag the girls along for this conversation. It's not right. I can't tell him that I'm planning to follow the woman. He looks at me like he doesn't believe a word I say.
Why don't you call the police now and tell them what you've found out? They can talk to Laura instead. It's their job, not yours.
I will later, I promise. As soon as I've said that, my phone rings. I snatch it immediately and place it to my ear.
It's the police, I mouthed.
Have you found anything? I listen for a few seconds and add the odd yes and okay. Then the call ends.
What did they say?
My dad leans forward, waiting for answers.
A witness said they saw a woman on the beach about the same time that I was there. At the moment, they're treating her as a witness. They're putting an appeal out on social media later today, with the help of the local press. They said she was wearing a black coat, a hood, and walking boots. There's no useful CCTV. What they have is grainy, and I'm only caught on two cameras.
A person, dressed in black, following you. That sounds like the description you gave of the person watching the cottage.
The more I think of Laura, the more convinced I am that she's the person who has been following me, but I can't say that to Dad right now. She has to be Will Wilcox, and I want to know why. She doesn't scare me one bit. In the cave, she caught me off guard, but not now. I'm on to her. As soon as I've checked her car out, I'm passing what I know over to the police.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. I'm confused. The answers have to be there, all tangled up in what I know, but I can't unravel them. I think back to that day 25 years ago, my mother dragging me towards the ice cream shop. Now I know that Natalie was in there serving. It couldn't have been her. Her husband who died, maybe it was him. It's like my memory is clicking into place. I didn't spend long looking at my dad and sister. All I saw was Archie's face pressed against the window of his boat. If only I had. My mother has said many times that she doesn't remember anymore. I check the time and it's nearly 4. I have to get ready to go to the shop. It's getting on a bit. I said to Laura that I'd meet her at her shop and I don't want to miss her. I promise I'll stay around people. I won't go in anyone's house, car, boat, or anywhere else, I promise. I won't be long. Maybe when I get back, we could take the girls for an evening walk on the beach.
I'd love that. I found some mackerel in the fridge, by the way, so I put it in the freezer.
The girls caught it with Damien. I swallow my sadness down. He's still refusing to engage with me.
I'll be back before you know it.
My dad grabs a tissue and wipes his eyes. Are you okay? I ask him. He shakes his head.
I sat in this kitchen with your mother. You and Jess were in front of the television with some loud cartoons blaring out. She hadn't talked to me for hours, which is how things often went when we'd been bickering. I can't even remember what we argued about now. Anyway, that's all I remember. It's nothing. If I could go back to that day and do everything differently. Right now, I know my dad is the only person on earth who understands how I feel. It's hard. I'm reminded of the life I never had with Jess. I'm hoping that we can move on after this. We have to be able to. Grabbing my bag, I leave my dad in the kitchen. I need to hurry upstairs, do this test, and head out before I miss my opportunity. I'm running out of minutes, hours, and days. I lock myself in the bathroom and pee on the stick. Then I stare at it, willing time to go faster. The results show up. I throw the stick in the bin under a batch of used makeup wipes, and I sit on the loo, head leaning back against the wall. I really don't know where my life is going right now. A part of me wants to run down the stairs, pretend that all this isn't happening. On a normal day, I'd be happy, and Damien would be thrilled, but now he won't even communicate with me. We've talked about another baby before, but he'd been hesitant. He thought I would be even more stifling if we had three, and he said it was too much work because I'd never let anyone help with the children. I think I've proved otherwise with Dad being here. Gulping down the ball of emotion in my throat, I take a deep breath and decide to mull it over for a while before I try to call him again. For now, the knowledge that I'm pregnant is mine and mine alone. Right now, I have a woman to follow. 38. Kate. What little sunshine there has been today has been replaced by a collection of storm clouds. The weather is as changeable as I am at the moment. One minute I feel I know nothing, and that I should stay safe with my family. The next I'm like a rabid dog, chasing the tiniest of leads like I'm on a mission. Jess is worth every risk I've taken. If something happened to Millie or Rosie, I'd do everything I could. I stand in the doorway of a vacant shop, my grey hood covering my brow line. Before leaving the cottage, I stared out of the bedroom window, checking everywhere for the navy blue car or any sign of a person loitering. Even though I couldn't see anyone, I still went out of the back door with the feeling that my heart was in my throat. As I wait for Laura to close the shop and leave, I bite my thumbnail to the skin and flinch as I draw blood. I grimace at the metallic taste in my mouth, wishing that I had a bottle of water. When I arrived about 15 minutes ago, I'd casually walked amongst a crowd and peered in. Laura had been tidying up and she was alone. There was no sign of her daughter. Rain begins to trickle, so I keep my back against the door to avoid the heavily plopping raindrops. Right now, I wish I'd worn my waterproof coat, but it is what it is. I listen as a door creaks open, then I peer around the recess to see that Laura is leaving. My phone is on silent, and I'm ready to follow her. My fingers tingle until they shake, and my head begins to throb. She steps off the path and crosses the road. As she passes a couple of takeaways, she heads inwards through a narrow street. I follow at a safe distance. She turns again up a steep hill. I let her go ahead until she takes a bend. On my right is a cutesy little bookshop. I carry on and take the bend that leads to some steep steps. By now my calves burn like hell, and I just want this upward trek to be over. I spot her ahead, through a cut in the foliage, but she's fast disappearing. Panting, I realize that I'm almost striding vertically as I manage the last bit of the hill. I'm losing her. She's heading to her right, alongside a row of houses. Church bells ring, telling me it's now 5 in the evening. I don't know why, but right now I feel vulnerable. There doesn't seem to be anyone around, and darkness has come over the skies with the rain, making it feel like night has fallen. Something snaps behind me, like a branch. I turn and stand there feeling almost lightheaded as I glance at how high up I am. A boy appears from the steps I came up, holding a skateboard. I exhale and hurry towards the houses that Laura went into. A light flashes on, and I see her walking around her white-painted house. Then she closes the curtains. I glance up and down the road, searching for her car, but I can't see it. I run down a little, but it's not there either. Maybe it's further up the hill. While darting back and forth, I spot a large building buried behind trees, and then I see her car. Bingo! I swallow, hesitant to walk into the darkness alone. However much I try to control my short, sharp breaths, the more I feel out of control. The boy with the skateboard is long gone. If I was meant to go missing anywhere, it would be here. Taking a deep breath, I force my shaking legs to proceed forward. The road below narrows, and potholes and piles of grit below tell me that I need to step carefully. One wrong move, and I could twist an ankle. As I near her car, I peer in. The seats are devoid of any clutter, not like our car. There are no used parking tickets in the center console, no toys or bags of snack food. It's creepy back here, so I need to hurry up and get this over with. Lying on the gravelly tarmac, I shine my phone under the car, but I can't quite see where I need to. I shuffle under a little. That's when I hear clacking heels getting nearer. Rolling from under the car, I keep low and head to the rear of the car. My heart bangs so loud I'm convinced that if she gets any closer she'll hear it. How do I explain that I'm lying in the road behind her car? She will know that I followed her. My heart is telling me to get up now and run. I'm fit, far fitter than Laura probably is. She can't see me. Light bounces off the floor and her phone rings. I stay still, waiting for her to answer. "Hi, I'm on my way." She pauses for a moment. "No, whatever you do, don't do that and don't say anything." She walks around to the driver's door. "Sit tight." She ends the call. As the car beeps, I flinch, kicking a bit of gravel as I do. Instead of getting into the car, Laura stands there, listening as if she's waiting for another noise. Hand on heart, I watch as a cat darts into a bush. She gets into her car and starts the ignition. I only hope that as she pulls away, she doesn't check her rear-view mirror and see me lying in the road. Within seconds, she's pulling away. Lights fade as she turns out of the road. I lie back, and the rain soaks me through. I get to my feet and examine the ground for any evidence of oil, but I can't see anything. Reaching for an overhanging branch, I snap it and begin whipping the floor with it. Frustration boiling over, I want to scream. I'm no closer to knowing anything. I can't even follow Laura, and I get a feeling that wherever she was heading would have told me all I need to know. Don't do that. Don't say anything. Sit tight. What was that about? Kate? I didn't hear her creeping up on me. My mouth opens and closes like a goldfish out of water as I toil with what to say. 39. Kate. Daisy holds an umbrella, her brows furrowed like she's trying to work out what I'm doing. I'm soaking wet and gripping a branch with so much strength, I must look deranged. Hi! I drop the branch and brush the grit and bits of twig from my leggings. She steps closer to me and smiles. Here! Get under the umbrella! You're soaking! Thank you. I shuffle up close to her to stay dry from the pelting rain. It's set to pass in a minute. What are you doing all the way up here?
Oh, I just came for a run and fell over. I must have tripped in a pothole in the road. How about you? Do you live up in this part? I have no idea where she and Cody live. Maybe they live close to Laura. No, we live over the other side of the bridge, up another big hill. It's all hills around here. I'd normally come on my bike, but I fancied a walk. You get solid legs living in these parts. She lets out a little laugh. I'm just heading to my friend's house for a couple of beers and a bit of TV. As we stride towards Laura's house, Daisy stops. Right, this is me. Good thing you only have to run downhill to get back to your beach cottage. Just follow this slope, and it will take you back into the village. Thanks again for keeping me dry. You're welcome. As she walks up the steps towards the house, I call her. Daisy, how did you know we were staying in a cottage down that way? I hadn't told her where we were staying, and as far as I knew, only my stalker would know. She steps back towards me. I shouldn't have said that, sorry. But how did you know? Has she been following me? She is a woman, and her jacket is dark. It has a hood, too. Everyone knows. You're the talk of this town. Has everyone known where I'm staying from the start? She presses her lips together and nods. The landlord of your cottage is Kyle Penrose. He owns the Smuggler with his wife. He recognized your name from the Remembering Baby Jess page when you booked, and on the day you arrived, he saw you pulling in, and after a few too many drinks, he told everyone it was you. He's such an asshat. I'm sorry he did that to you. You and your family deserve your privacy.